You know, there are a lot of questions that we have in the Christian life that have different answers according to who you're talking to. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on general questions to genuine Christians. A lot of times, questions about Christianity are asked by those who are not a part of it. They think they are, many times. But we have questions about our life as a Christian, which are answered differently by various Christians and various denominations. But you know, when it comes right down to it, the answers you get from people are never fully correct. We are failing in many ways. A lot of things we don't understand. So where do we go? We go to the Word of God. And I'm going to take some questions tonight, that are answered from the Word of God. And you don't have to look them up. I'll read the questions, read the answers to the questions from the Word of God. And this one is a very, very important question. And that is, what am I to be as a Christian, as a believer? What am I to be according to the Word of God? In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Word of God says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" And then he goes on to say, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And so we're told from the Word of God that we're to be the salt and the light for this world. Amen. As Christians, as a believer. Now, you're the light of the world, Jesus said. He didn't say you're one of the lights of the world. God didn't have any other plan for the reaching of lost sinners in the world but believers. That which we call many times the Great Commission, and I've said this many times here before, it's not a commission, it's a command. But this matter of the command of God to the believers to be salt, now think about that. What does salt do? It flavors our food, or brings out and enhances the flavor of food. It preserves. It is a germicide to a certain degree. And we are to be that to the people of this world. I wonder how much saltness they see or feel or sense in us. But we are to be the salt and the light of the world. Then in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 5, we're to be salt and light to the world. But what are we to be to Christ? In John chapter 15 and verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We are branches of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. He is the source, the plant is the source of nutrient, the source of the ability to grow, the source of the ability to produce fruit. As long as the branches are attached to the vine and drawing strength from the vine or the plant. So he said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Why is it then that in too many churches and too many Christians' lives, there's no fruitfulness? I thank God for the fruit that is seen in this church. I don't know how many weeks in a row now we've baptized new converts. Several. Now praise God for that. And the major reason for it is that we've got a pastor that's abiding in the vine. Thank God for him. Not everybody has that privilege. But he sets an example for us in the matter of attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ and dependence upon him and obedience to him. That's a superlative example for every one of us. I would to God we would see production on every branch in this church. You see, he didn't just give the command to the pastor. He didn't just give the command to the staff. He gave the command to every one of us. Every believer is to be attached to the vine, attached to the bush or the tree or whatever our life is coming from. And we are to draw strength and produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. To the world, we're to be salt and light. To the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be branches through whom he can produce fruit for the glory of God. Then, insofar as the Lord Jesus as King of kings and Lord of lords, what are we to be to him? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the word of God says, now then, we, Paul, including himself as a believer, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. And God didn't make this a choice. He said, now then we what? We are ambassadors for Christ. What is the purpose of an ambassador? To represent his country and his government, to promote them in foreign places. And he said, now then, we are ambassadors. When I ran a drug and alcohol rehabilitation program down in Florida, had a young man that he was a prisoner in a state prison in Florida where I had Monday Bible studies. And his father was an ambassador from the United States. And I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but many times the government shifts them to different countries because they don't want their ambassador to get too attached to the situation in any one country. And this young man's father had been transferred from place to place, had been an ambassador in several countries. And in my Bible study, he surrendered to preach, and he surrendered to the mission field when he got out of prison. Now, when somebody comes up and tells me, God's called me to be a missionary, the natural question, where? Where do you think God's called you to serve? And he kind of grinned and he said, you know, I thought about it a lot. He said, you know that I speak several languages fluently. I said, yes, I know of at least five. Here's a kid growing up in a foreign country and playing with children of another language and another country's customs. And he became familiar with at least five languages. And it was one reason why I asked him the question. He said, well, Brother Glenn, I very seldom dream, but if I dream in Portuguese. And he said, I don't know why, but I believe that God wants me in the nation of Brazil, where they speak Portuguese. He went on to be with me for a number of months, and when he got out, he went to Miami Bible College because he had committed crime in Miami and was assigned there to some time after the term of his sentence was over. And I don't know when it was in that time that God changed his direction. He wound up in Costa Rica, which is a Spanish-speaking country. Not a great deal of difference, but here's the thing. He was an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. After he got saved, though his father had been an ambassador for this country for most of his life, adult life. What is an ambassador to do? He is to represent to a nation a foreign power. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to represent him. And by the way, we're in a foreign country. You say, I'm not in a foreign country. Oh, yes, you are. I'll tell you, this country is not the same as it was when I was a kid, when I was growing up. We're in a foreign country. There's a lot of things that are going on today that didn't go on back then. If I'd walked out on the parking lot of the high school when I was in high school, there would have been probably 15 cars or pickup trucks generally sitting there. And every one of those pickups would have a gun rack in the cab and probably a shotgun and a rifle on the rack. But nobody ever got shot. It was a different country back then. There were different attitudes, different interests, and it was a lot easier to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ than it is today. Why? Well, for one thing, every day at school, we had an opening prayer. The Word of God was welcome there and taught by a lot of the teachers. Used in grammar classes as examples. They'd give you sentences to diagram. How many of you ever diagrammed a sentence? All your older people have, some of the younger ones hadn't. But you learn the Word of God by general absorption in a school where the Word is honored and taught and exampled. Hey, we're in a foreign country here. As believers, I'm very disturbed when all we can get on the news is who got shot, who got robbed, road rage, and the idea that guns are the cause of it. Folks, guns never killed anybody. Somebody had to pull the trigger. And the one that pulled the trigger is the murderer. We're ambassadors. What kind of ambassador are you? When you meet citizens of another country, the United States, it's a foreign country now to most of us. What kind of a witness are you? What kind of a ministry do you have with them? And then, not only are we ambassadors for Christ the King, we're to speak in His favor and in His place, but we're also servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses about 18 through 22. The word says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Notice he didn't say you became an opportunity or had an opportunity to be servants of righteousness. He said, when you got saved, when you were made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And notice verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, eternal life. What are we to do as a servant of righteousness? I've lost my message. It sailed off somewhere. But we're to be servants of righteousness. What kind of a servant are you? There are two kinds of servants, and both are illustrated in the Word of God in many places. The unprofitable servant in Bible days was either sold or given away or driven away. You know, I think the devil got that. He didn't want me to finish, but I'm going to finish anyhow. I might not have all of the verses memorized that I was going to use, but folks, I'm here to serve the Lord. And you're here to serve the Lord. How are you as a servant? There was a fig tree that didn't bear figs. It had the appearance of a good fig tree. But when Jesus came walking by, he saw the leaves on the fig tree, and that's an evidence that there should be figs. And he walked over, and there were no figs on it. And the Lord said, let no fruit grow on you forever, from here on. And before they got back, after the services were over that day, the disciples noticed that that tree was already withered away. Why? It had a purpose in being there, but was not fulfilling that purpose. Folks, if God put that same question, if he sought fruit in your life and in my life and found none, would he have his heart broken? Would we have any purpose if we did not produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I just don't have a knack for witnessing. Well, I don't know whether I have a knack or not, but I do it. And I do it because he told me to. I don't do it because I always love it. A lot of times I've been cursed. Down in the Dickens area off of South Getwell, I was told that if I came on that man's property again, he would shoot me. And I believe he meant it. He was a Muslim, and he apparently hated Christians. I've had a lot of discouragement from people that I've tried to witness to, but I still do it. You know why? I don't do it because of encouragement from the people. I do it because of commandment from the Lord. Any believer who understands and realizes that God gave his life for us ought to be willing to obey him in his command to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. You say, well, that was just to the disciples. Well, look at that part of that verse that is in there that says, and teach them to do the same thing. He told them to go and win people to Christ and teach them whom they won to go and win people to Christ. And somewhere down the line, somebody was faithful to talk to you and to me. And the orders from headquarters comes down through them to us to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a testimony for him. Now, there's opposition. We can expect opposition from Satan. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning about verse 10, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We do not go, and we are not commanded to go in our strength. You don't witness effectually in your strength any more than I do in mine. We're to go in his strength. But notice what he says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities or against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, that is, demonic powers, in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we're in an evil day now. But God has given us the commands and the example and the way to be victorious in an evil day. He says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, we're in a battle. We're in a war. And it looks like Satan is on the ascendancy in the world today. One of the reasons why is because we're not in that book like we ought to be. Young people today are not taught it in the Word or in the school, and they usually don't get it at home. I won't ask you because I don't want to embarrass you. how many in this room read the Word of God with their family every day? How many wait until the day is over and have a short prayer asking God for forgiveness for the day before they go to bed, instead of starting the day with the Lord in the morning and getting the strength to be what we ought to be as believers throughout the day? That's where we ought to be. But how do we get to be what we ought to be? By simply letting God live through you. Letting the world see Christ in you. I don't know how many times this has occurred in my life, but a number of times. For example, one time my wife and I were, and at that time I think we had four of our own children and one other that we were rearing and training, and we were on our way up to Memphis where my wife's family lived. We stopped for the night. This was on a weekend. It was on a Sunday. That morning, if I remember rightly, there had been a service in the little park where we parked. And that night, I asked the man at a lake down in Lake Lurline and Alabama. I said, is there a church in the neighborhood? He said, yeah, there's one right up the road. Little back road off of the highway. And we just had time to set the trailer up and we went off to church. It was a Baptist church. Happened to be a Southern Baptist church, but it was a Baptist church. And that pastor was out on the porch of the church. And he said, thank God, you're an answer to prayer. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm sick as a dog and I can't preach. Would you preach for me tonight? I said, how did you know that I was a preacher? I'm in blue jeans. I'm traveling. I was in traveling clothes. He said, you look like one. I've seen preachers that look like a lot of things. But actually, he'd never seen me in his life. I'd never seen him. But I think one of the reasons that he thought I was a preacher, I was carrying a Bible. And he had a Bible, didn't have it in his hand at that time, but he went home. When I got inside, I found out I had the only Bible in the house. The whole church was there, no Bible. But I gave them some out of mine. But hey, folks, we're in a day when we have a responsibility. As all of the things that we gave you that God's Word says we're to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we won't be that until we serve him day by day witness for him, and live for him. God help us to be what we ought to be and what he told us to be. Now, how do I get to be that way? You start now. You can't start yesterday, and you can't say, I'll do it next week. You've been saying that probably for years. But now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation and the day of proclaiming it as a minister of Jesus Christ, in whom or who indwells us and in whom we walk day by day. Ask the Lord, how do I become what you want me to be? And he'll tell you, by total surrender, by determination to begin now and to stay at it till he comes. And that may be tonight. Father, have your way in hearts and lives. Challenge us, fill us, use us in this community and around the world to be what we ought to be for you, to be what you have stated we are to this lost and dying world. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.